Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Watch the news, you get scared. You read your Bible, everything is okay. You know, it's a bit, and boy, I experience those emotions. If you watch too much of the news, because they keep showing the worst case scenarios, and it is scary, and it's there's reality there. We're not pretending it's not. And at the same time, you know, you get in the Bible, you feed your faith, your doubts will starve. You get to the place where you're reading your Bible and understanding the scriptures, and man, God he's our rock, just like was preached this morning. Well, anybody listening or watching, we are practicing we're social distancing here, and we're separating. We got an auditorium that seats 500 people, and you know, we're all spread out, and nobody's breathing on anybody, and we're not shaking hands. I'm getting that out there so everybody knows, and so the haters won't have any ammunition. There's enough of that going on out there as well. But we'll just keep on honoring God and praying for our brethren that are sick. There are several, and pray for those that their immune system is weakened, and for whatever reason, and we want to remember them in prayer. And I understand the fear, and that we're going to get through this, and everything's going to be all right. Praise God, a lady got saved this morning. You know, right here in the auditorium. Didn't know she wasn't supposed to come to church, I guess. And she got saved because another lady that was saved just a year ago brought her, actually made great effort and picked her up and brought her to church this morning. Lo and behold, she gets born again, hears the gospel, gets a Bible before she leaves the church today, and she's on cloud nine. And we're actually seeing quite a few people saved of late. And boy, I appreciate that. Boy, that was my big prayer this morning. I didn't know how many people would be here, and we did split up, and you know, split. I had no more than 50 in the auditorium, and I just prayed, God, would you show people that the work of God goes on, that you're still in the soul saving business, and He did. Would you endue me with power from on high, God? Would you bless our little feeble efforts here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and it is hard. I think I can do it. I think if it gets worse. I think if I can just get a few people to come and sit, just a few people that I can preach at, I think it'll help me and I'll be able to preach. Because it's hard to preach to empty pews. You know, I'm glad you're scattered out so I can look around, and it's almost like if you're on that side of the camera, you're looking, you're thinking, well, there's a lot of people there. But the truth is, there's some here and there's some here and there's some here and there's some here. You know, there's just not what there normally is. And I preach to people, not to empty auditoriums and not to four walls. Derica sent me a meme this week. I figured out what a meme was not too long ago. Sent me a meme this week, and it was a picture of a preacher standing up, and he had store dummies scattered all over the auditorium with little posters that said "Preach it" and you know, an "Amen" and that kind of thing. So I was thinking about doing that. You people are better than dummies, though. You are. The bad thing is, with my humor, I expect laughter from time to time, and with few people here, you know. And I got to thinking, you know, if I could get Jeff to make me up a control board right here, just like they do on TV with those laugh tracks and stuff, then when I say something funny, I could hit a button and it'd be laughter. That would be wonderful. Better than that, I could hit a button, there could be amen, or hey, that's good preaching. Now that would be wonderful. Let me start with prayer. Father, thank you for the evening, grateful for it. Again, we pray for our brothers and our sisters that are at home this evening. God, would you bless them? Lord, as they open their Bibles with us, may they learn the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit just touch their hearts and build them. And God, we pray that this separation would be very temporary. And Lord, you'd see America through this very, very soon. And you'd prepare us for bigger and greater things. And Lord, would you be with those that are assembled here tonight? And God, the intent that you have for the church is that we would assemble. That word is actually found in this text tonight, that the ecclesia is a called out assembly. So God will do what we got to do for now, and we pray that you would work it out, that we'd all be back together again very, very soon. And thank you that the gospel is for everyone. Thank you this morning for Nicole getting saved. Thank you for Lance getting saved on Thursday. God, we're grateful for the opportunity, for the privilege of rescuing souls from darkness and changing eternal destinies because of your great work on the cross, and all because of you. God, may we be bold in spreading the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts in chapter 11. I want to implore upon you again the need to tell people about Jesus. Those that are listening by way of live streaming this evening, and those here in the auditorium, and even listening to radio broadcasts, man, this week, use this week as an opportunity to one-on-one reach people with the gospel. Specifically tell them how to be saved. And specifically draw the net or bring them to Christ. You know, figuratively speaking, you take them by the hand and you bring them to your master. You bring them to your Savior. So you tell them how to pray. You explain to them the gospel. You explain what they've got to do and how it's got to be from their heart and what repentance is and how they can call upon Christ right now and be born again. And you'll see people saved this week. This is an opportunity for us. You got to look at it that way. You know, the glass isn't half empty. It's half full. And in reality, if all the churches are closing down on Sundays, we had people that come from the Sioux this morning from another church because they didn't have church this morning. They were here in the 10 o'clock hour. I mean, hey, you know, that's an opportunity. It's not like we're proselyting. That's not it. But I mean, you know, just staying faithful. And as a man of God, church is so important to me. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm not chewing anybody out now, all right? But we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There will always be people like, you know, if you got excited when you found out, man, I only got to go to church 1 hour on Sunday morning, and, you know, you got all excited about that. That's the opposite of King David. He said, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's not about coming and punching a time clock to come to Fundamental Baptist Church. You're genuinely born again and you're walking with God. Man, you're looking forward to worship. You're looking forward to hearing the word of God. And so a little bit different. And I just got to believe that there are people all over there. They just kind of, oh, we don't have to go to church this morning. Or, I mean, all over the state. Or even preachers. Oh, man, I got a vacation. I don't get to preach. I don't have to preach this morning. And some of those guys only preach once a week anyway. It's hard to believe. Hebrews in chapter 13. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. We'll try to get a little perspective here this morning. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love that verse. I love preaching that. You know, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a great promise of God. But that's not it this morning. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Comfort and encourage every child of God here in the auditorium. Some are listening to the live stream. I'm aware of that this morning. We pray, God, that you would bless, you'd take the word of God, because it's not bound, and it never returns void. And as people hear the word of God, we pray that their hearts would be lifted. Lord, we'd be encouraged. Perhaps there are some that need to be convicted a little bit this morning. We're all there. God, would you just please speak to our hearts and make it real and make it powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It simply put is this. You don't have to be afraid. I know the coronavirus, my opinion now, all right, I'm not a medical doctor. I think it's overblown. It could go bad. I know that. I don't want to be Chicken Little yelling the sky is falling, and I don't want to be the ignorant man that just kind of rebuffs any admonishment or any warnings. I'm just saying we just need to be practical. We need to take practical steps, put everything in perspective. I checked the website at Answers in Genesis, who I trust very dearly, and they said that the flu yearly kills, this year since October, has killed 61,000 people in America. That's the regular flu. And this number is really hard for me to get my mind around, 45 million people per year worldwide. I'm thinking, that's a pandemic. And then the coronavirus, you know what? It might end up being bad. It may not be bad. But here, the Lord is my helper. You don't need to be afraid. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So be practical. Wash your hands. Don't hug people. Yeah, that's really that simple. Practice a little social distancing. We can do that. That's why we split up our morning services right now. But the fact is, don't look for the boogeyman behind every bush. Don't be thinking, oh, I can't go there and I can't. Yeah, and that's what's going on. And you know, I can see the devil throwing a curveball at the church. I can see what's going on without ever firing a bullet, without ever sending a missile. Just kind of got to change everything. And I think there are those, and I think the devil's involved in this, who would love to ruin the economy of America. Get all the churches hiding in the corners and hiding in the dark and behind closed doors. And if the governor says that we can't have over 100 people, right now she's saying 250. So that's why we split it up. You know, it's a health thing. We have our religious rights. We have the right to assembly. You know, so that kind of goes against me just a little bit. But I thought, well, you know what? We could be smart about it and just kind of split up our morning service. There's nothing compromising about that. If she comes out this week and says you can't have over 100, we're going to have 4 morning services next week. We're not going to close church. We're not going to stop worshiping God. We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And boy, if you want to know my personal opinion on some of that thing, I'll give it to you a little bit later on. You ask me personally, because I got it, man. Okay, let's go on to verse 8. Look at it again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't want to get arrested, you know, but I got this thing about an unsaved lady telling the churches what to do, you know. But Jesus is never going to change. What a wonderful truth that is. We have someone that we can count on. I'm an old man, and I don't like change. It's easier to become a fundamentalist and stay a fundamentalist as you get older. You know that? We just don't like change. I make my coffee a certain way in the morning. In fact, I have an order in my bathroom where I brush my teeth. Everything in a certain order. Every morning starts out the same, man. And the pills I got to take, I got them sitting right here in order, you know. And you get things out of order and get out of whack just a little bit, and I get a little bit grumpy, a little bit. So, you know, this being this fundamentalist thing, this Bible fundamentalist, and not wavering from the truth, it gets a little easier as you get older. It really does. And people change. Cultures change. Nations change. Churches change. Philosophies change. But one of the great characteristic traits of deity is the immutability of God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never going to change. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I hope that's what it is. Yeah, it is. Psalm 62. Going to look at verses 1 through 8. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. God is omnipotent. These are deity characteristics. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. And he's immutable. He is never going to change. We just got through reading in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. As New Testament Christians, we got a rock that the U.S. government knows nothing about. Unfortunately, the unbeliever knows nothing about. They're invited to him, but they know nothing about. I have a rock in my life, a tower of strength that is never going to change. Good times or bad, it matters not. No matter what the temperature is outside, if it's hot, it's cold, anywhere in between, it does not matter. My Jesus doesn't change. The psalmist David referred to his rock, to Jesus, to God, as his rock 14 times in the Psalms. Let's just read a few verses here. Verse 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. David is singing this to God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long shall ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock. He never changes. I change. My mood changes. My thought process sometimes changes. I'm different than what I was when I was a younger man. But God never changes. Never changes. You know that series of jokes? You know how many, whatever it is, Youpers, it does it take to change a light bulb? You know, and I guess there are ethnic jokes along that line, and there are all kinds of jokes. How many fundamentalists does it take to change a light bulb? Change? The fact is, we don't like change, do we? There's nothing about us that likes change. And here's a great truth. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God endureth forever. He's my rock. He's my defense. David said in another passage, he is my shield. He is my tower of strength. Look at verse 6 again. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You can trust God. You can count on Jesus. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. You know what? If the coronavirus ended up getting really bad, I mean, and it really was a bubonic plague kind of thing, which it's not, but if it really, really was that, and again, all that is going on in the last month and a half, it just makes it so easy. It's much easier for me to comprehend the last days and how things are going to change and people are going to be running for fear. Because there's a map. Yeah, I'm not belittling it, but I'm just telling you the way it is. Because there's a map with a lot of red on it. Yeah, I'm thinking, wow, what are we doing? You know, we've got God. Fear, there's no reason for that. You don't have to be afraid of life. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. Man, honor God. Be practical. Again, if they're telling us to, it makes sense to me. We should have been doing it all along. Wash your hands a lot. But you know what? Get out. Don't let the devil turn you into a spiritual coward. We don't want that to happen. Our God, look at Psalm 102. I pretty much don't have an outline anymore. I've destroyed it. I've chopped holes in it all over the place. So Psalm 102. I want to get over there myself. Verse 24. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days, in the midlife. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. You know, God's forever. He's a forever God. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. Talking about creation. As a vessel shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Jesus is forever. God is forever. We have a forever salvation. And God is not going to change. You know, when the church was born on the day of Pentecost, nothing has changed as far as the virtues of God, as far as who God is, and the mission and the motive and the method. None of that has changed. We're still here in the church age. And you know, if some waves come our way along the way, man, you just adapt and you go on and you serve God. Please, you know what? I'm preaching to the choir, and I know there are people that aren't in church this morning because they're cowering in fear, and it's just not right. That if we do that, and we just kind of close the shutters of our house, and we all draw within, and the world is going to die and go to hell. And man, again, a master stroke of Satan. Again, I'm not belittling sickness. Do the right thing. They come up with a vaccine, man. You know, do whatever you got to do. You know, that's it. But don't stop living your life. The good news is, God hasn't changed. He will be there. God will be there. What time did I start preaching? Somebody know? Do you know what time I started preaching? I'm trying to keep it close to the half hour for the radio, and I did not look at the clock, and it's determining what I'm going to preach right now in this next moment. All right, go to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. You'll be happy to know that this is the short version. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will be there. God will always be there. He says, I will go before you. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is He's our helper. He's our comforter. God, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only did He say He's the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He said just prior to that, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if you, I know you don't know Greek, at least you probably don't, but that passage in Hebrews in chapter 13, in the Greek, in the TR, the way it's emphasized there is the word never is five times. It is a big emphasis. Let me read it right. I will never, 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 never leave thee. That's a promise of God. No matter what Monday holds, God is there as a child of God. Number two, the word of God will never change. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Verses 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. But the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So God is never going to change. He's always going to be there. The word is always going to be there. The Bible doesn't change. It's settled in heaven, the scripture says. And it's by way of the word of God that we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus. By the way, that's never going to change either. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received and wherein ye stand. The word gospel means good news. By the way, it isn't good news if it doesn't get there in time. It isn't good news if they never hear the gospel. So that's why you hear the gospel by way of preaching. Romans in chapter 10. All right? How shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 2 says, But which also ye are saved, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. Jesus offered Himself a sacrifice. He bled out the blood atonement, death, burial. He was put in Joseph's tomb. He was put in the grave. He was there for 3 days. Resurrection. He rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. When somebody gets baptized, that's the gospel. A picture of the gospel. When they're put in the water, death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel's never going to change. The message from God is never going to change. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. First letter to Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says, Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here's the message I was going to preach this morning. Now, I got it written down, but I don't have time to preach it. The mission of God has not changed. I just read, He wants everybody saved. He wants everybody born again. The motive hasn't changed. I was going to go to several passages, and of course, God's motive for reaching sinners is love. I mean, I'm unlovely, but that's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The message has never changed. I just quoted John 3:16. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel over 400 times in the word of God, it's always the same. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus took our place. Jesus paid the price for our sin. And then he rose again on the third day. He's a living God. He's a living God. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Man, he hasn't changed. His message has not changed. His method hasn't changed. He uses men and women to get the gospel to their neighbors, to their coworkers, to their friends. He's ordained or ordered the New Testament church and given to them the Great Commission. We're to reach the lost. Man, what an opportunity. And I would say, looking at the glass half full instead of half empty, these next couple weeks, that's an opportunity. It's a grand opportunity to tell people of Jesus, the living God. I should have asked the man that came this morning in the first hour, why did he think we would have church? because seemingly, I don't know who all's closed, but his church closed, and a lot of other ones did. But he knew. I don't know. I guess we did get it out several ways, didn't we? You know what? We serve a great God. And there's no reason to fear. None. None. Be practical. Be smart. But don't look for the boogeyman behind every bush. Don't be the one to turn to. Could this be the kind of thing that the devil uses just to kind of shrink the church? Just before Jesus comes. You know, that's that curveball. He never even fired a bullet. You know, it's just the power of social media, huh? Can you believe that? Have you recently tried to buy some toilet paper? You know what that is? No, I'm thinking about this. I'm just trying to be practical. Now, if everything goes really bad, if everything went really bad, and I don't think it is, but if everything went really bad, I can think of things I need more than toilet paper. So I look down in our church closet and food bank down there, and we happen to have quite a bit of this stuff. And I thought about maybe having an auction this morning. What do you think? For a roll. Somebody told me on the Brimley yard sale or whatever that site is, it sold for some, what kind of price? Did somebody hear? Somebody see that? How much? $32. What are people panicking about? I'm thinking, are you kidding? No. So here's the roll of toilet paper in the aisle, and it's empty. Right next to it is food, and it's all there. I'm thinking, that is the power of social media. That's what that is. Don't get caught up in these kinds of things. You know, Lord willing, if he is willing, this is going to pass in a few weeks. You know, and I pray it is. I pray that's all it is. If it goes bad, that's okay. I still have my rock, my tower of strength. My shield. Man, I still have the one who loves me. And he says he's going to provide for me. I'm going to do the best I can, but he's going to provide for me in every way. What a God we serve. What an advantage we have as New Testament Christians over people that are not born again. Now, the people that are out there, or if anybody is here this morning or listening by way of radio or their computer or whatever it is online, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is just a warning shot over the bow. You see, you aren't going to be able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need Christ. You need the rock. You need to know that you're born again and on your way to heaven. And if you don't, I invite you to him this morning.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.